We're going to do, God willing, reasons to stay faithful. And that's one of the things that's hounding and hurting the church across the country right now, because with things that's happening and the kinds of things that some of the supposedly leaders are doing, they're tearing it down to almost nothing. There are lots of elders, quote unquote, that will tell the church that from now on we will be in the assembly for 15 minutes. I don't know about y'all or not. I get a lot of good being here talking to people, people like old Jimmy and, you know, all of you. And then they just make it into nothing. And that way you can get off and beat the Baptist to the place you want to go eat. I guess that's what the problem is. I don't have much for that. Now, I'm good for going to eat somewhere, but not at the expense of throwing you away. That's not right. Reasons to stay faithful. And we got some things here that'll help us along with that, if you think about it. In Hebrews chapter 4, 14 to 16, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses." You listen to that? You ever get overcome with something? Do you know God's on your side? That's wonderful. "But we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." How would you like to know, out of all of the evil that is in this world, that God can overcome it with just a word or less? This lesson is not about missing church. We are heard to saying things. I know I've been out for a long time, but I really love the church. Well, where have you been? Well, we had the mud races and we had stuff like that. And, well, you work that out between the Lord and you. There's a huge difference about all this. When we talk about loving the church, we would be talking about loving every person in its embrace, even the ones who are somewhat difficult. I don't know nowadays about some who were difficult. I do remember, however, being in a position like I'm in right here, right now, talking and dealing with things we need to know. And people and come up and just say, "We're going to fire you." You know, I can tell you this, you can't fire me. I can quit. I don't want to quit. In the church today, discouragement, or lack of encouragement, maybe be the better word, seems to be one of the greatest sources of unfaithfulness, mostly because many in our movement do not know about the rich truth that has been given by Christ. There's people that just want to go to church and get back, you know, get out of it and go to the restaurant or wherever you go and say, "I was there, I did it, I went to church today." Today we're going to look at six reasons, if we can be here that long, six reasons for staying faithful. I have a great high priest. There is no priest higher. You have the same high priest. Do you understand, and does it click to you, that when God does these things in the scriptures, that God is working on us. He's working with us. In Leviticus 16:1-22, the Jews had a high priest. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of two sons of Aaron who died when they approached the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, "Tell your brother Aaron that he is not to come wherever he chooses into the most holy place behind the curtain in front of the atonement cover on the ark, or else he will die. For I will appear in a cloud over the atonement cover." This is how Aaron is to enter the most holy place. He must first bring a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering, and he's to put it on the sacrifice in a linen tunic with linen garments next to his body. He is to tie the linen sash around him and put it in the linen turban. These are sacred garments, so he must bathe himself with water before he puts them on. From the Israelite community, he is to take two male goats for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron is to offer the bull for his own sin offering to make atonement for himself and his household. Then he's to take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And he's to cast the lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat whose lot falls to the Lord and sacrifice it as a sin offering. But the goat chosen by lot as a scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to be used for making atonement by sending it into the wilderness as a scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the bull and all of this offering. He shall slaughter the goat. Now, we don't do things that way. I don't think I've ever skinned a goat, but I know people who have. Here's what God's going to do. In 1 John 2:1-2 speaks of the word propitiation, which is the act of appeasing or having a positive, sympathetic, or friendly attitude toward some deity, thus incurring the divine favor or avoiding divine retribution. My little children, these things I write unto you that you may not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. How do you like knowing that God has already put it down in the books? If you have in your hand a Bible that you can go and look at, you'll find the same thing that you're hearing me say right here. That's the way God put it together. Later, when sin came into the world, God could not have this sweet fellowship with His human family the way it was in the beginning, because sin caused humanity to become evil. And God cannot and does not fellowship evil. Isaiah 59:2, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor His ear dull to hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, your sins have hidden His face from you, so that you will not hear." God was desperately desiring fellowship with His human family. The whole creation was to also create man. He did the first man, Adam and Eve, and then He made others. In 2 Corinthians 5:14-19, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died, and He died for all, that those who live should no longer live to themselves, but for Him who died for them and who was raised again. You're talking about Jesus Christ right here, who died and rose on the third day. Jesus, wasn't he? Yeah. They put him in a grave, and up from, what's the song say? Up from the grave he arose with a mighty. There he goes. So, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ this way. And the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. And all of this is from God, who reconciled to Himself through Christ and gave the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling to the world Himself in Christ and not counting people's sins against them. You hear that? God's at this point not holding their sins against them. Would you like to have that where you were not charged against it? Yeah. This is the work that was done by the high priest of Jesus Christ being the high priest. That we can now have close fellowship with God just because of what he did. The high priest, Jesus Christ, is the bridge between the offender and the offended, according to John 14, 6 and 7. Jesus answered, I am the way, and I am the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really want to know, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. How would you like to come face to face to God? The God who died for our sins, raised on the third day, and he came to life, and he still walks the world. Our great high priest passed through the heavens. This is the second thing that's come out. Men and women like ourselves have been able to do great things throughout the years, but none have ever lived, or any who will yet live, to have the power to do for us what Jesus Christ has done and will do. In Acts chapter 9:11, Jesus' ascension, the passing through the heavens. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and the cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently into the sky to see as he was going, and suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him going into heaven. Do you believe that? There's a lot of people don't. God worked this thing out so you can live forever. So I could live forever. I'm going to die. I guess executed is a good word, a lot of funerals. And I have been there when the casket was lowered down into the soil. And then after some time, it was covered over. For most people, they're just dead, like Rover, dead all over. But that's not the way God's people are. God will bring us to life after we die. Don't give up, because we'll have more. When Jesus Christ ascended back to his Father, did he pass through the heavens the way the high priest had to go through the veil? The Old Testament high priest had to offer sacrifice year after year, year after year, but with Jesus Christ, it was a full-time sacrifice. What he did is he sat down because his one-time sacrifice was superior. If he gave Alan the sacrifice, he gave it all to us and gave us that same life. Hebrews chapter 1, 1-4, in the past God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times in various ways, but in the last days He has spoken to a Son and appointed heir, and He is the one with whom also He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful Word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. He sat down and gave us purification. I don't know what kind of deals you've ever done. I'd trade anything I had. I mean, I love to trade. But I'm going to tell you, on this deal, I'm not moving from here. On this deal, I'm going to live forever. You're going to probably, the younger ones of you will, y'all know that somewhere I've died and been buried. But it's coming. It's coming for all of us at some level. When God made His promise to Abraham, since it was no one greater for Him to swear by, He swore by Himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. People swear by someone greater than themselves, but an oath confirms it, what he says, and he puts an end to the argument because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of His purpose very clear to their heirs of what was promised, and He confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of this hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor in our soul, firm and secure, and it enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where the forerunner Jesus Christ has entered on our behalf, and He has become a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek never died. Do you know that God has made it where you and I have been given the grace to have, as this text talks, it's like it's become like the high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. It made it out, put it out to say, and then he says, this is yours. If I see and understand this correctly, I'm going to live forever. I did this somewhere at some place. Some guy says, you can't live forever. I said, how come? You just can't live forever. Well, you hadn't got the right guy. You got the wrong guy talking about it. Melchizedek never had to die. He was there, a priest forever. Because of who he is, we have full assurance that he'll keep us in his care. Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Our high priest can be touched with our infirmities. This is part of the reasons to stay faithful. Our high priest cannot be touched with our infirmities. The Jewish high priests were often arrogant and better than everyone else. They turned the priesthood into a political office. In John 1 and verse 11, Jesus wept. Now, isn't Jesus Christ God's own boy? He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. Matthew 23, when Jesus cried over Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, if you go there and read those texts, Matthew 8, Jesus even touched a leper. Leprosy is a very dangerous business. Your flesh literally just falls off of your body. Jesus, however, touched a leper. Me and Robert couldn't do that. Me and Alan, none of you. But I'll tell you what, Jesus touched the leper. My Jesus would do what nobody would do. Matthew 9:36, Jesus had compassion on him. Poor guy. And above all, Jesus still hurts when you hurt. Do you know that? Our great high priest was tempted in every way that we yet without sin. Because of Jesus' great power to save, we're not alone. Through the great high priest, we can draw near to God with boldness. In Romans 8, 31 to 39, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who knows the rest of it? Who can be against us? Who will bring any charge to those whom God has chosen? Is it God who justifies? You might note here that justifies carries the idea just as if I had never sinned. This is what God has done for us. You want a reason to stay faithful? There's your big one right there. In the light of this biblical witness, you and I have plenty of reasons for staying faithful. Why would anyone possibly ever conceive of giving up? If we're to consider very carefully, we would never return to our old ways of sin and death. God has made it so that something that we need to talk about just before we quit. On top of all this, as if that's not enough, God imputed His own righteousness. If that's true, and Johnny is in covenant with Jesus Christ, how clean are you? If you died right now, would you be saved? Yes. He imputed His own righteousness to you the same way He did for Abraham. What that means is when God sees us, He sees His own righteousness in us every time He looks at us. Well, I don't get everything right. Who in this room gets it all right? Every one of us have deficits, but we have a God. He imputed His own righteousness to you the same way He did for Abraham, and if you are in the covenant, you're just in the same line. If this doesn't excite you to do better, something's bad wrong, and we need to talk. Yes? But here's what I know. We have a God who's on our side. You're going to die. I don't know when. I don't know what the process will be. It really matters little whether you run over with a car or a bus or you just get a bad disease. But I know this. You can't be dead enough to outlive Jesus Christ. And you will live forever. If this bored you, I'm sorry for you. Because I would want to rehearse this pretty often. But I'll tell you this. Jesus Christ is on our side. God the Father is on our side. The Holy Spirit of God lives within us on our side. There's nothing we can't do. And these folks here said what?
Amen.
Amen.